Well, here we are in the third week of our sermon series here at DeWitt Community Church that talks about what we believe based on the Apostles' Creed. And this has been a creed that we've held for over 15,000 years. In weeks 1 and 2, Mark talked about the first two people of the Trinity, the Father and the Son. In week 1, we learned that in order to believe in God, we have to know that He exists. To have faith, we first have to believe that He is the creator of all things. We also learn that as a father, God is our Abba Father, not just a distance, far off kind of idea, but a permanent part of our lives, a relational God who wants us to be in personal relationship with Him. We also learn that our finite minds just sometimes can't get our whole ideas around the concept of God, so there might be some things that we don't just really understand all that well. But we also learned that we are made in the image of God, both male and female, and therefore God has attributes of both being male and female. And then last week, Mark was challenged with the task of talking about Jesus in 1 week.
The history of the world in 1 week.
Right. It was a little bit difficult, I'm sure. But some of the things that I wanted to highlight to you is we realize that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, created through the power of the Holy Spirit, and in real likeness to God. It was God in flesh. Jesus walked through the earth and revealed who God is to us through His experience as a human being. And likewise, we learned that through His death and resurrection, He opened a way to heaven for us so that we would have eternity in our sights, the promise of eternity through His sacrificial death and resurrection. We also learned that Jesus is more than just a moral teacher or a prophet like other religions might think. He truly is the Son of God and the way to heaven through faith in Him. And this week, I have the opportunity to speak to you about the Holy Spirit. And the one little verse I get in the creed is, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Sounds like a small little verse, but I hope as we look through things today, you'll understand that the Holy Spirit is so much more than just a small little verse. So in order to begin our conversation about the Holy Spirit this week, I'd like to invite you to read with me two passages of Scripture that are in your bulletin that talk about the Holy Spirit. The first is from Acts 2:1-4, and we talk about the day of Pentecost, and it reads, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. In our second reading from John 3:6-8 reads that like this. Flesh give birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it is coming from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Will you pray with me as we start our time of worship together? Gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, illuminate us the power that we've been given to step out in faith as you teach us through your word so that our hearts, minds, and souls may be filled with you. We pray this in the name of the Trinity. Amen. So even though my task today is to speak about the Holy Spirit, I believe that we have to start a little bit further back and talk about the Trinity first, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Muslims and Jews claim that Christians aren't monotheists, that we don't believe in one God. They say it sounds like we believe in three separate gods. And unfortunately for us, to look at Scripture, we can't find one specific passage that talks only about the Trinity. The New Testament has many comments about how the Spirit works, and the Old Testament talks about how the Spirit undergirds things. But we don't have that one specific place where we can go to. And even in the Apostles' Creed, there's a lot of statements about the different parts of the Trinity, but not how they're really working together as one. And as we heard last week, many matters regarding God are just too big for our finite minds to understand. But I always say that when I go to heaven, my first thing is to pull out my list of questions that I'm going to ask God. I'm just that kind of an inquisitive person, and I want to know how it works. So this morning, what I'm going to try to do is just give you a little bit of an idea of how I think the Holy Spirit goes with God the Father and the Son and works as the Trinity. And remember, I'm not a scientist, I'm a pastor, so you have to give me a little leeway, please, if you don't mind. We'll start with the idea of an atom. When I was younger, I was fascinated by the idea of an electron microscope, being able to see the smallest particles through this kind of a microscope. And as we know, the smallest particle is an atom. It's made up of protons, neutrons, and electrons. Did I do okay, scientists? Okay. And in the Old Testament, there was no way that we knew technology would give us the opportunity to be able to break up an atom into those parts. So I think that the thought was these small little particles are inseparable. They all work together to be an essence, to make something one. So that's my scientific idea. How about a little something more personal? What about you as a human being? What makes you you? You have a body, a mind, and a spirit. And all three of those things working together make you who you are. If any of those things were taken away, you wouldn't be authentically human. So in the same sense that our body, mind, and spirit are interconnected, that's how I see God. They might have different attributes, but as part of one whole, they are united completely and absolutely inseparable, three parts of the same essence, like the Holy Spirit is part of that belief that we have that unity between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you a question, and this might be a little bit crazy, because I asked this question downstairs during the services before this, and nobody raised their hand, so you can leave me hanging if you want. But how many of you hear voices? Anybody? Yeah, you're kind of like, wait a second, if I raise my hand, she's going to think I need help, right? We all hear voices. We hear voices in our head all the time. Sometimes they're good voices of people who have inspired us and given us great words of encouragement. And sometimes they're like that old tape recorder that plays back past memories that we've had in our mind over the course of our lives. My father passed away this past June, and I still every day hear his voice in my head, encouraging me and helping me along my way. But sometimes those voices aren't necessarily positive. They can be voices to tell us to stay in bitterness or to be regretful of things. And I hope that the voices you hear are more loving and compassionate. They're authentic voices that help you to become a better you. See, I really believe that each and every day there's a battle going on for our mind. The deceiver wants to beckon us into thinking that things are worse than they actually are, and to listen to those voices that cause us harm and lead to our downfall. But this is exactly where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit is God's voice talking to us, actively working in our lives, leading us and guiding us and forming us and shaping us into authentic people, you know, who God wants us to be. But it's important to remember the Holy Spirit is a still, small voice. It's not a loud, overpowering presence. It's not something that comes right to you and rushes to you all the time. Sometimes, and most times, the Spirit talks to us in those small ways, asking us to do things, to step out of our comfort zone, to find ways away from the noise and the distraction in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I think that there's more noise and distraction now than there ever has been. There continues to be all these things that come into our lives, the responsibilities we have, the things we want to do, and we forget to slow down. We forget to take time with God. We forget to allow him to fill us up so that we're filled up in order to go out and serve other people. In order to be authentically human and be the people that God has called us to be, I believe we need to listen carefully for the voice of the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is mentioned over 500 times, both in the Old and the New Testament. In the New Testament, the idea of the Spirit is breath or air or wind. If you think about it at creation, when God's Spirit breathed into the human beings, the man and woman, it made them who they are. It made them human. Likewise, at creation, when everything was being made into one, God's wind, it says, a wind from God or a spirit hovering over the water made creation happen. You see, the Holy Spirit has been active since forever, since the beginning of time, since God was, the Holy Spirit has been active. In the Old Testament, we see the Holy Spirit working through creative people and artisans, building things for the temple, using their skill sets to form gold and different precious gems into the things that they would use to worship God together. And we also see in the Old Testament God's Spirit inspiring people to do things beyond their powers in leadership and human strength and wisdom. And we see the Holy Spirit as the voice guiding and directing the people of Israel, making sure that they went the way that God would want them to be. The Holy Spirit leads, guides, and influences God's people in the Old Testament for doing his purposes. But in the New Testament, it shifts a little bit. God's Holy Spirit is still guiding and directing, but instead of doing it only through leaders or specific groups of people, the Holy Spirit comes to individuals, ordinary people like you and I. The tongues of fire come upon each person and give them the empowerment of God's Spirit to be the advocate or to be the comforter or the helper or the wisdom underneath everything they did. And Jesus himself promised before he left this earth that the Holy Spirit would come to his church, that it would be the guiding force to help them do things beyond their own power, but to do them through God's power, as we heard in the first scripture from Pentecost. Now, you all don't know me all that well, but I'm an experiential learner. I would rather have experiences than stuff. That's kind of my love language. You want to go do something? Let's do it together. I don't need a gift or anything like that. And when I think about the Holy Spirit, to me, this is the experiential part of God. It's being and doing and being in relationship with God. It's that rushing wind or that spirit that undergirds us to go out into the world and do things, to actually make our faith in action, to put our boots on the ground, if you want to call that. The same spirit that was there at creation, breathing into everything into existence, the same spirit that breathed into the nostrils of the man and the woman, and the same spirit that came at Pentecost to the church to make them step out and do things for Christ, is the same spirit we have thousands of years later. But sometimes I wonder if people looked at us from the outside, would they see the Holy Spirit active in us, in God's people? I'll bet that in your own life you've had the experience of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, because the Spirit is all around us and in us. Maybe it was a nudge to call somebody on the telephone that you haven't talked to in 10 years just to catch up. Or maybe it was when you were in the grocery line looking to get out of the grocery store quickly and the Spirit said, stop and talk to that person next to you. Maybe that was the only time that day that they heard a nice word or a familiar voice. It takes time to learn, to stop, and to listen to the nudges of the Holy Spirit. It takes a little bit of courage to step out for Christ in through the Holy Spirit's nudging. But I can promise you that if you do that, things beyond your comprehension will happen, and important things will follow. Likewise, if you don't listen to the nudge of the Holy Spirit, you really truly miss out. I can think of an experience I had not too long ago where I got the nudge from the Holy Spirit around 7:30 at night to go and see one of the people that I knew wasn't feeling well, and I said, I just made dinner, and I just put the dishes away, and I'm so tired, I'll just go and do it tomorrow. Well, unfortunately for me, there wasn't a tomorrow, because that night was the night that my congregant passed away. But fortunately, more than not, I listen to the nudges of the Holy Spirit. I've learned to realize that they're important, that they don't just come haphazardly, but God intends to nudge us and to move us so that we can be there to offer hope and comfort to someone in need. Sometimes I even get a flash in the middle of the night, I don't know if Mark feels this or not, where God says, oh, this would be good to preach on, and you write down a piece of paper. You hope you have one next to you. Doesn't happen often, but every once in a while. And then there's those times when I can just sit and look out at nature and feel the overwhelming love and warmth that comes from God, and I know that the Spirit is at work in me. Likewise, there's times that I preach, and I think to myself, boy, my message isn't very good. And then someone will say, boy, that really directly spoke to my heart. And I think, well, boy, that was the Holy Spirit, because that had nothing to do with me. What I'm trying to say is there are many ways that the Holy Spirit is at work within all of us. And it's still working today in all of us, not just back in the holy times of Scripture. But I believe that sometimes it takes us time to really open ourselves up to the beckoning of God. Even before we believed, God was calling us to himself. That's what theologians call prevenient grace, when God is wooing us and drawing us to ourselves, to himself. I call it the God-shaped hole in our heart. I have this theory, and it's probably not proven, but maybe, that each of us is born with something missing in us, a God-shaped hole. And sometimes we fill that stuff with things that we shouldn't. We fill it with all kinds of distractions, or maybe sometimes we fill them with things that we're addicted to, and we try to find that peace to make us fully human. But until we fill that hole with God, we'll never be complete. We'll never be whole. And therefore, it's our time to invite the Holy Spirit to come in and fill that hole in our heart, to make us into the people God intended us to be, in a sense, shaping us and forming us from the inside out. So if you listen carefully, you'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit nudging you to do what's right and not what's wrong, nudging you to pray and to go before God the Father and ask anything in the name of Jesus because he wants what's good for his children. The Holy Spirit nudges us to want to equip us, to give us gifts so we can serve, and we can have power far beyond anything we can have in our own human strength. And the Holy Spirit grants us that strength to do the works of God, to actually be people who reflect God's glory to the world. And that's useful not only to ourselves, but to non-believers who we want to draw into the kingdom with us. Step by step, moment by moment, God's Holy Spirit leads us through the story of our lives, fulfilling his purpose in our lives. And only we need to allow him to do that, because he has plans for us that are good and not evil. And that same Spirit who was active over 2,000 years ago is still available to us today. It's the Holy Spirit's power working through us as God's people that allows us to do greater things that we can ever do in our own natural abilities. Now, I often hear Christians say, oh, I'm studying Scripture, or oh, I'm going out and doing works of service. And by all means, those are fantastic things. I think studying Scripture and understanding it and being able to get a message from it is perfect, and being people who serve out in the community is fantastic too. But what about experiential faith? Remember, I'm an experiential learner. I like experiences. Have you just ever stopped and experienced God and allowed the Holy Spirit to walk with you and be with you and enjoy God's presence through the Holy Spirit? I believe that that's an important part of our faith as well. We forget that we're temples of God, that we're supposed to be filled with God's presence. And if we allow God in, both as individuals and as a collective church body, can you imagine the things that we can do together? Just think of how far our witness will go, how far the kingdom of God will go through our working. I believe that the Spirit dwells in all of us, and that it's through the Holy Spirit that we reflect God's glory to the world. And we don't have to search for the Spirit, because the Spirit is already here, speaking to us, calling us, forming us, shaping us, empowering us. All we need to do is allow the Holy Spirit in. I can promise you that the Spirit isn't going to force itself upon you. And I can promise you that if you resist, the Spirit will stay away. But if you slow down, and if you get the distractions of the world out of the way for a while, and you ask God in, his Holy Spirit will never not deliver. It will be there in power and with grace and in strength. The Spirit whispers, but the noises of the world and the distractions of the world often drowned the voice out, that small voice. My prayer today is that we allow the Spirit to talk and that we actually listen. Remember before when I asked you if you heard those voices and some of you thought I was a little crazy? Well, I hope now that you actually do hear a voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit working through you and in you to empower you, to guide you, to form you, to comfort you, and to strengthen and empower you. Let's pray together. Gracious Holy Spirit, we need you. You are the breath of God that fills us and makes us whole. We ask you to completely form and shape us into the people that you want us to be, to lead us to do what you want us to do, to empower us and to use us, to speak to us and to speak through us. We ask that you produce your fruit in us and help us to listen to your voice above all those that clamor for our attention. Come, Holy Spirit, we truly need you. Amen.